If you have your Bible, Genesis, if you would, Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 41. I get a chance to, I think, really be a blessing to you, Genesis 41. Now, notice in the outline, we're finishing up chapter number 40. And I want you to notice that's the reason there's a ... Roman numeral 3 on it. Notice, if you would, in one day, Joseph's whole life changed because he learned his lessons for 13 years and kept close to the Lord. Okay? His whole life changed because he learned and kept close to the Lord. Now, can anybody tell me some of the lessons that he learned? 39 and 40, he was sold by his brothers. That's a terrible thing, to be sold into slavery. His 11 brothers hated him. So much so because he tried to do what's right. And his father made him his favorite. And that's always wrong. We never have a favorite child. It creates envy and jealousy in the others, and that's exactly what it did. And when he came around, his father even made a coat. Can anybody describe this coat for me? A coat that would set him apart. Many colors. Now, you've got to realize today we have beautiful colors that people dye. They buy them at the store and they're all kinds of colors. Well, what they would do, does anybody know the definition of swaddling clothes? In other words, Jesus was born and they put him in swaddling clothes. Anybody know what that means? Yes, ma'am. Strips of fabric. My grandmother, I remember watching growing up as a young child, she would take and make a quilt. And she would always have this big quilting rack out there, and she had a bag of all the old clippings of shirts she's made and jeans she's made and different pillowcases she's made. She'd take all the pieces of the fabric left over material and she'd throw it in a bag. Well, then when she made a quilt, she'd take those out and weave them in. Now, when I'd go underneath it, I'd look up there. It was an awful mess looking underneath it. I mean, strings hanging down all over the place. But she would take on the top side and she would get a real pretty a cream color and put these pieces in it. And she would make wedding rings. How many of you know what that looks like? A wedding ring quilt. Well, she would take these pieces and cut them out in circles and make a wedding ring quilt. But if I looked underneath it, I could not figure out what it was. But I'd get on the top and I could see it. Well, the pieces would be leftover pieces. And his dad, Joseph's dad, had a coat made of pieces that were all stripes. And it looked great. But none of the other brothers had one. So he was marked as the favorite son. They said, well, we're going to take care of that. So they all got together and sold him into a slave train for 20 pieces of silver. And he was gone for 13 years. Now, that'd be awfully hard for us to have a good spirit if that happened to us. On top of that, he kept his good spirit. He wanted to do what was right, and he was sold to a captain in Pharaoh's army, and he bought him for 20 pieces of silver, and noticed there was something really different about it. His spirit was always cheerful, upbeat, and the same, and he was the hardest worker he had ever seen. And so he put him in charge of his household, a slave. Well, as he's in charge of his household, he's also a handsome young man. Potiphar's wife came after him. And day after day, hey, come lie with me. Come to my bedroom. Come lie with me. He said, no, how could I do that? How could I sin against Potiphar, your husband, and my God? And she just kept after him day after day. And he kept being careful. Well, one day, everybody was gone from the house, but he was going around his normal duties. And she caught him. She caught his jacket, his clothes, his cloak. And he ran. She said, come lie with me. And he ran. But she kept his cloak. So she made up a lie and said, Joseph tried to rape me, to her husband. He threw him in prison. Now keep in mind, now he's been sold as a slave. He didn't do anything wrong. He does right again. He becomes the manager of Potiphar's house. Well respected. Still a slave, but a manager. And now somebody lies about him and it ruins his testimony. He gets thrown in prison. So he's in prison. We don't know how long, but it's years. And two people get thrown into prison. Well, he's so positive and such a hard worker that the captain of the prison, the warden, said, I'm going to put you in charge of the prison. Every place he went rose right to the top. Because the Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion comes from the Lord. So if you do what's right, God says, I'll promote you. Now, it's no big deal to be promoted as a slave to head of slaves. It's no big deal to be in a prison, head of prison. But every place he did what was right. And he kept this spirit. And God said, I'm going to bless you. But I'm going to see if you can keep this spirit. And if you learn how to manage people well, because I got a big job for you down the road. And you have to learn the lesson. And did you know this? God has a lesson for everyone in this room. He's got a job for each one of us too. Well, I don't know what it is, but he's got a job for you. And you cannot do it unless you mature in Christ to a certain point that pleases him. Well, he's been in there 11 years. And guess what? Two more people are thrown into prison. Can anybody tell me what they were? What was their jobs? Two people thrown into prison. What were their jobs? Anybody know? A butler and a baker. The kings. He was mad at them. Throws them in prison. Well, they had two dreams and Joseph interpreted the dreams for them. And he said, now look, when you get out of prison to the butler, would you please tell Pharaoh that I'm here in here unjustly? So he gets out of prison just like Joseph tells him he would. Interprets his dream. But he forgot about it. Does anybody know how long he forgot him for? I hope you've been listening the last couple of weeks. Ryan? Right? 2 years. That's right. So now he's been sold as a slave. We don't know how long. Years. And then he rises to the top. Then he gets lied about, thrown into prison. And then he rises to take care of the prison. He's under the warden. And then these two men get thrown in. He says, look, please tell Pharaoh that this is unjust and explain to him what I've done for you and try to get me out of this prison. And the guy forgets about him. So it's 13 years in prison. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. All a part of God's plan. And the butler says, oh my, I forgot a guy in prison. He can interpret your dream. Now, we're going to come to that in a minute. But you'll notice, if you would, then all of a sudden the king says, get that man up here. Get him out of prison. So they shaved him real quick, put on some, gave him a shower and gave him new clothes. And he came in before the king, explained to the king exactly what was going to happen. 7 years of great plenty was coming. And sure enough, and 7 years of greater famine was going to be after it. So Joseph said, be sure you pick out somebody that can save wheat and grain so everybody doesn't die. And Pharaoh says to all his people, anybody you know of that's better than this guy? We're going to make him prime minister. And he's going to be in charge of all of Egypt. So he rises in Potiphar's house, rises in prison, and that prepares him for rising in Egypt to be in charge of the whole country and their food supply. Now, I want you to notice, if you read, you'll find out he did a lot of very wise things. But I want you to notice here, the Lord blessed him. Let's set that aside for a minute. But notice, if you would, A, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt because he kept doing what's right and learned his lessons. Now, folks, tonight, if you have a habit, you always lose your temper. You always let a word slip. You always lust. You always covet. You always, but you don't do it as bad as you used to. You're not going to be prepared for what God has for you. We have to make great progress so the Lord says, you're clean. I can use you. Doesn't mean perfect. Nobody's perfect. but we have cleaned up our lives. Now notice, if you would, be in the outline. He was given a wife. Pharaoh says, you need a wife. I'm going to give you one. And he does. And she's a picture of the Gentile bride of Christ. The Gentiles are not part of the Jewish religion. The Jews are God's chosen people. We're not. I mean, unless you're a Jew in here. But God loves everybody, and he's going to save everyone the same way, Jews and Gentiles. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 2. So God says, I want to save all of you. But the picture of Joseph being in a foreign land and being given a wife is the same thing Jesus was in on earth, in a foreign land from heaven, dies to save Gentiles like you and I. And we're the bride of Christ. One of these days that's going to happen, Revelation 20. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, God gave him sons. He had two sons, and they became in the lineage of Jacob. Notice, if you would, D, he worked to forgive and forget his hurts and the great rejection by his family. Notice chapter 41, chapter 41, verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came. And notice down in verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, which Manasseh means forgetting. I can forget all the hurt. And every time I see my son, I'm reminded, you better forget what happened. And notice, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil, 13 years in prison, and all my family's house. I'll never see my family again, but I can forget and not experience the hurt. And notice, if you would, in letter E, he learned to manage people under stressful environments. And that prepared him for taking care of Egypt. F, he grew to have faith in his God, even without understanding things. Now, folks, tonight, all of us have to learn this lesson. You have to have the faith in your Heavenly Father that he will always do what's right for you. How many of you have children? Okay. How many of you have done something with your children that hurt them, but that was good for them? Like, take them to the doctor. Or set a broken bone. Or straightened out a disjointed finger. Or made them take some medicine. How many of you got some medicine you just don't like to take? Miss your hand. Okay? How many of you have a pill that's the size of a horse pill and you don't like to take that one? Let me see your hand. How many of you got one of those your doctor gives you every once in a while? Okay? Look, now when you do it to your children, you say, you got to do that. You got to take this. I don't want you. You got to take it. Or a shot. Our Heavenly Father does things for us to prepare us for what he wants us to do, how he can use us. But we can't lose our temper in a bad environment. We can't lose our spirit and get discouraged when the going gets tough. And here, Joseph has to learn that lesson before he can run the country. There are people that don't want to save money. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to save my own. And Joseph says he charged a tax on the whole country and stored it all. The Bible says he stored so much grain that it was without number. He couldn't count it all. But he knew a time of famine was coming and everybody was going to die if he didn't do a good job. So he had to ignore the complaints of the tax, but take care of it like a treasure. And that's what he did. But he had a gracious spirit about it. So you don't hear people complaining, but when they did complain, for instance, one year they said, okay, we'll sell you all of our, at the end of the 7 years, they didn't save much. They're like Americans. They spent it all. Well, Joseph had saved this humongous amount of foodstuffs, wheat and grains, and he was prepared for it. and animals and hay bales for the animals and all of that. He'd saved it back for 7 years. Now, the first year they said, it hadn't rained in a year, and the locusts came through, and we don't have anything to buy food with. We need some stuff for our animals. Okay, we'll mortgage your animals, and we'll give you all the food you need. Or we'll give you all the hay and stuff for your animals. Second year, they lost their animals. Then the third year, nothing came back. Fourth year, they said, all we've got is we'll sell ourselves. So they became slaves of Pharaoh. Now, he didn't treat them like that. But then the next year, they sold their lands. They said, we got nothing but our lands. And Pharaoh owned the entire country of Egypt because Joseph was managing things right. But he said, we'll let you stay on your land and you can keep 80% of what you earn. Just pay the king 20%. They said, that's a deal. So he was good to everybody. And this famine lasted for 7 years, and he got them through it because of his wisdom and what he learned for 13 years. All of us have to learn God is preparing you for something that you're not prepared for now when you go through hard times. We have to learn that. We have to trust the Lord. We have to have faith that our God doesn't make a mistake. He didn't, I didn't know you were going to get cancer. I didn't know you're going to lose your job. He never makes a mistake preparing you for the next step. Now, if I'm Joseph, I think God's forsaken me almost. But he still kept doing the right thing and trusting the Lord. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, he says, Roman number 1, chapter 42, Jacob heard of food in Egypt and they were starving. Look in chapter 42, verse 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, how did he hear that? Well, where a gold strike is, everybody hears about it. You've heard of the gold rush in California? Happened multiple times because word gets out and it just spreads like wildfire. Well, everybody's starving. There's food in Egypt. Everybody flooded Egypt to get food. Well, you notice, Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, and Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? So I want you to notice in the outline, even though his sons heard of food in Egypt, they made no plans to go and buy food. Why? Because they had no vision to provide for their families. Well, let Dad provide for us. They didn't have any vision. And notice, Jacob had to ask, why do you look one upon another? And he had to tell them to go buy food. Look, if you would, in verse 2. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. So here's Jacob. So you can begin to see his brothers. They're lazy. They don't work hard. They're jealous. And so the dad has to say, look, you 10 guys, go down and buy some food. Now he's got one more brother, one more son. Can anybody name who that son is? That's very important to him, like Joseph was. It was Joseph's full brother. Anybody know who it was? Anybody tell me? Ken. Benjamin. Now, Benjamin's a young boy, and the father, again, would not let him go. Wouldn't let him out of his sight. He, again, was his favorite son. But by this time, the older brothers had learned the lesson. At least we're not going to sell our youngest brother like we did Joseph. But now notice, follow with me if you would. In verse number 3, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Now notice in the outline, B, Jacob still had a favorite son in Benjamin. So he wouldn't let him go to Egypt. He's not going to let him out of his sight. He's not going to lose another favorite son. Jacob didn't learn the lesson about having a favorite son. And it ruined the family. Notice, if you would see in the outline, the 10 brothers went to buy food in Egypt from Joseph, but didn't recognize it was him. And notice in D in the outline, however, Joseph recognized his brothers. Look in verse 8. verse number eight. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him, not him. So how in the world would they have recognized him? He's in Egyptian robes, Egyptian paraphernalia hat, full beard now, can't recognize him. Well, notice what happens. E in the outline, Joseph remembered when he saw his brothers, they bowed down before him and said, "Oh, master of Egypt, we need food." You'll notice D in the outline, Joseph recognized his brothers. E, Joseph remembered his dreams and realized God had kept his promise. 13 years later, maybe 14, don't know how long it took for them to run out of foodstuffs, maybe 15. But notice, if you would, see it as verse 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land. And it was he that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came before him with their faces to the earth. So his 10 brothers come, and amongst everybody else that's wanting to buy stuff, they kneel down before him and say, "Oh, master of Egypt, we need to buy food. We're starving." When Joseph recognizes his 10 brothers, that probably wouldn't be too difficult if you see 10 brothers come in all at once. Well, notice, God had promised earlier in his life, chapter 39, God had given Joseph a dream that one of these days, the stars are going to bow down before you. And Joseph didn't understand what it meant, but he thought it meant his brothers. And then he said, and the sun and the moon, identifying his father and mother. Now, his father said, don't be dreaming like that. That's not right. You think your mom and I are going to bow down before you? Joseph would just tell him what God laid on his heart. And come to find out, God was telling him one day, the whole world is going to bow down if they want to eat before you, Joseph, because I'm going to use you and I'm going to grow you and I'm going to bless you for doing what's right in hard times. And folks, tonight, all of us have got to do that. You may have to get someone to pray with you. You may have to get people to encourage you. It's another reason you come to church faithfully. When you're having a hard time, you come to church where other people exhort and encourage you. Because we all need that. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever come to church on a Wednesday night exhausted and tired? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. That's all of us. You know what? It's important that we don't come and just find a seat. And ignore everybody. You know why? Because one of the reasons you come to church is for fellowship. And exhortation. And encourage each other. Understand. Everybody in this room has a hard time every once in a while. How many of you can recognize when somebody's not their normal self? Okay. That's the time to step to the plate and say, can I help you? Is there something I can do to help you? Can I pray about something? So that people don't feel alone. A local church is for that purpose. Now notice, if you would, F in the outline. Joseph accused his brethren of being spies and put them in prison for 3 days. Now, look in verse 16. In verse number 15, 14, he accused them of being a spy. But you see his underlying reason. He's not trying to hurt his brothers. He's trying to get Benjamin, them to bring Benjamin back so he can see his youngest brother. So notice what he does. Verse 14, Joseph said unto them, that it is that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. You're not leaving. You go send somebody to bring your youngest brother, whoever he is. And he knew his name. You bring him. Well, notice what happens. Verse 16. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. He just wanted his whole family there. Now notice in verse number 17. And he put them all together into ward, into prison for 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. He's sort of giving them a little bit of leeway here. I fear the Lord. I worship the Jehovah God too. So I'm going to give you a chance to prove yourself. Well, if you be true men, verse 19, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So he at first says, one of you can go, the rest of you stay here. And then he says, you know, I'll let them all go, but one of them stay here and bring back your young brother. I want to test to see if they're willing to let him be a slave forever. Or if they've learned any lessons by how important each brother is. So notice what happens in verse 21. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brothers. Speaking about Joseph from 15 years earlier. In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. He begged us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Now, let's learn a few things about that. Notice, if you would, F in the outline, Joseph accused his brothers of being spies for this plan of his. G, he told them to bring their youngest brother back as proof they were not spies. Now, then he'd have his whole family together. Notice H, Joseph wanted to see Benjamin again without any of his brothers knowing who he was. He was trying to keep his identity private. Well, notice 2 in the outline. The brothers clearly identified their troubles as punishment from God for what they had done to Joseph. Notice in verse 22. And Reuben answered them saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. That is a principle of the Old Testament. If you take someone's life, your blood's required. So we took Joseph's life. They thought he was dead. So our blood's required. So keep in mind this guilt. And folks, tonight, we can all learn a lesson. Guilt gets in all of our hearts. Unless we take care of it. We're going to learn that in just a minute. Guilt is a terrible thing. There's a way to get guilt out. Brandon this morning told a story in devotions. 3 minutes. I thought it was a great example. He said he was out trimming a tree, sort of like a pine tree that had long needles on it, and he didn't have goggles. Now that's number one thing don't do. Okay, but he's trimming the tree, and all of a sudden something fell in his eye, and he got in his eye, and he couldn't get it out. So he came to church Sunday, and his eye was bloodshot. How many of you noticed his eye was bloodshot Sunday? Anybody notice that? His eye was bloodshot Sunday. Couldn't get it out. He couldn't figure out what it was. He said, he was praying, Lord, please. And he, Sunday afternoon, was rubbing his eye just before church, and he said a half-inch long needle came out of his eye. He said, I have no idea how it was in there. Well, he said, look, I looked all through my eye and couldn't find that. The Bible says take the mote out of your eye so you can see the little needle in somebody else's eye. The principle is a great example. Well, these guys didn't see anything wrong with selling their brother. But the Holy Spirit began to convict their heart, and all of a sudden there's this huge needle in their eye. We're guilty. We're guilty. They couldn't get rid of it. Well, notice, if you would, B in the outline, A in the outline, rather, of Roman numeral 2. They admitted their guilt concerning Joseph. Now, listen to this. There's a difference in admitting you did something and saying I'm sorry for it. Watch. B, they also admitted their cold hearts when Joseph had pledged with him not to sell him. They wouldn't listen. We just read that verse. Well, notice C, they knew God hadn't forgotten what they had done. God does not forget the treatment of his children. And Joseph was one of his children. They secretly suffered for 13 years for their sin toward Joseph. One, here's the list of how you clean up guilt. One, We must recognize our sin when we fail God. Or when we fail somebody else. You got to recognize it. And you can look and look and look sometimes, but you can't see what we've done. We can see what everybody else has done. But once you recognize it, the brothers recognize it. But did you know they didn't say they're sorry to Joseph ever, according to Scripture? Their dad said, before I die, you better go tell your brother you're sorry. You know what they did? They went to Joseph in chapter 50 and said, Dad said before he died, we better come tell you we're sorry. So we're saying we're sorry. How many of you would be thrilled with that kind of an apology? That's what they did. They never apologized correctly. Now, I want you to notice, Joseph handled even that right. But I want you to see here in the passage, one, we must recognize our sin when we fail. They did that. This has come upon us because we didn't listen to our brother when he begged us. Two, we must confess it and ask for forgiveness. That's everybody in this room. When you do something to your mate, when you do something at work, recognize it and admit it and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Ask for forgiveness. That's the only way to get rid of the guilt. His brothers lived with guilt the rest of their lives. All they had to do was say, Joseph, I'm sorry. But there's no record any one of them ever did that. Folks, how unspiritual and ungodly would that be? So if they did this to Joseph, there are going to be people doing things like that to you. And if Joseph forgave it and said, look, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, we can do the same thing. We've got to learn that lesson. In order for God to use us and to promote us. Notice if you would, three, he will then give us peace inside our hearts. A lot of Christians don't live with peace. In the New Converts class this morning, this evening, we read a verse in Ephesians that said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And that's this passage. The brothers didn't let the peace of God rule. They let guilt rule. And they were never comfortable. Never again did they have peace in their heart. So they did all kinds of things to try to make up for it. We want to make money. We want to have cattle and lands. But they all had to do was say, Joseph, we were wrong. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? There's no record anyone of them ever did it. So that tells me you're going to have people mistreat you and never say, I'm sorry. But you forgive them anyway. Because it's right. That's a principle of Christianity. Because Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We all put him on the cross with our sin. For God made him to be sin for us. That's what the Bible says. And so it's up to us to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oh, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oh, coworker, I'm sorry. I did that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Or I did it on purpose. I was mad at you, but I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Recognize it. Confess it. Ask for forgiveness. And the peace of God comes into your heart. That's the best we can do when we've messed up. Now, notice if you were the last verse, last thing, Roman numeral 3. Do you have peace in your heart? That all is well between you and everyone around you? So you can be at peace with God. You can have perfect peace. But it's a choice. Joseph is the perfect example of being offended, but not letting it ruin your heart. And God blessed Joseph because of it. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come tonight, I'm going to have a word of prayer. You come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to talk to you for a minute. I did something years ago. I'm sorry. I did something this week. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Don't live with guilt. And if people have mistreated you, forgive them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Forgive them anyway. That's what Joseph did. That's what God wants. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we pray to you, because you're the only one that can answer. In your name we pray. Amen.